Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Sunday Show. Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Berry. Today's show is going to be just an open discussion roundtable. We invite you to call in. And funny enough, it seems like it's just me and me tonight. We're missing Wayne. We wish him well and hope he enjoys his anniversary. And Jack, how are you doing out in Minnesota?
Not too bad. It's getting dark here already. And it's
already
in the upper latitudes, you know. And it's only 20 above outside, and we had a lot of snow this past week. Not a lot, but enough to make the snow completely, or the ground completely white. So we're hunkered in for the winter now, it looks like, unless it melts pretty soon. But I'm not too I don't anticipate too much of that happening.
Well, you know, I'm hearing cold stuff from a lot of people all over the place. Down here, we've had a few chilly nights, but chilly to us is in the 60s.
Sure.
So I guess it's not too fair, really.
I'll gladly trade. Or borrow.
Right. My mother had
polar vortex, no. I guess.
That's what they're calling it. My kid sister called it that today, and I said, you know, what is that, like an El Nino from the North Pole or something? I don't know what that is. But I do know that it gets a lot of playtime on all of the blogs and through the media and stuff. And
sure.
I wonder, just it's a predictive thing, isn't it?
No, it kind of comes out of nowhere. I mean, they can predict it a day or two in advance, but that's not much warning. So, I heard toward the end of the summer that El Nino was starting to act up out north or out in the Pacific. And usually when that happens, it means real mild temperatures in my part of the country and not much precipitation. But, no, we got hit with a big snowfall on about a week ago, and it hasn't gone away yet, but I'm always hopeful.
I hear you. I want to join our other comment. I want to welcome our other commentator. Yeah, I have another poke on that pipe going. Sorry, guys. David, are you with us?
I am with you.
Well, hi, David. Yeah. Good to hear your voice
again.
Congratulations.
How are you guys doing?
Congratulations.
We're doing well, and I hope you're doing better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm setting up here in the bedroom, looking out the window in the snow and writing some C++ code and drinking a Bud Light.
You're getting some snow down there today, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's cold.
Jeez, yeah.
On top of that, our downstairs heater went out, so we're using the wood-burning stove. But actually, I'm sort of enjoying it. You know, we're
being real rustic
and all that.
Yeah, being real rustic.
Yeah, kicking back like the pioneers. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, man. Well, I guess in a certain sense of the word, we're still pioneers. We're pioneering forward with the progressive agenda. And so every once in a while we reach a few bumps in the road and get waylaid, but we're trying our best at any rate, and that's all that matters, I guess, at this point.
Well, what else can you do?
I want to ask you both. I'll start with you, David, since you've been relaxing for a while, and I noticed you've been paying attention to a lot of news. You always capture the interesting stuff. What is the most unusual piece of news? And unusual could be crappy piece of news, could be good news, whatever, that you came across this week. What's your
topic? What I've been paying a lot of attention to, and most people don't because they think it's past history, is the ongoing story of nuclear arms. There's a big push now to sort of revitalize the nuclear missiles that we have. Nuclear missiles, of course, never went away. They just sort
right.
of got out of the news after the Soviet Union went, but we still have several thousand, and
mm-hmm.
Russia still has several thousand, and they're still on a launch on warning mode, which means that if they get something that looks like the other side launched, and they think it is, then they're going to launch their missiles, and that hasn't changed.
Yeah, they're looking to upgrade and update them or something in some way, I heard.
Yeah, at the tune of about $1.5 trillion. So in by the time it's over, it's probably going to be closer to $4 trillion.
You know, David,
and,
isn't it funny? We can always find money for arms and missiles and stuff like that, but we just can't find a way to feed hungry children at school.
We've
got
to
cut the SNAP program.
You know,
insane.
And the bridges are crumbling
and
water pipes are breaking and infrastructure is going
to crap. For that, but we got plenty of money for arms.
No.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, if it was all up to me, I'd say let's just get rid of all the nuclear arms, keep about five of them, because that's all that's going to matter. After you get past five, it doesn't make any difference anyway.
Right, right.
And just, you know, hire 50 guys and put them on those five missiles, and that's it. Just call it a day.
That'd be fine, but of course the military contractors would never go for that.
No, they wouldn't. No, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's pure insanity, and we're living in a very insane time.
Well, you know, this country's just got too many people invested in the death business.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not nearly enough in the life business.
You got that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the future business.
Yeah.
You know, future of this country. You know, it should be education and having average citizen having a decent place to work and you know, raise a family and have some security and not have to worry about losing their job or being kicked out on the street. But
Well, there's an artificial scarcity of funds for wages and everything else in this country, and it's caused by the rich hoarding everything. And there, all the huge majority of the productivity gains that workers made in the past 20 years have been gobbled up mainly by the rich, and little tiny piss dribbles have been given down to everybody else. And there's something radically wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got what was it? 132 people deciding by the amount of money paid to the election, 60% paid into the election, 132 people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got the corporations that are keeping all the huge, you know, tons of cash offshore.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. That's unpatriotic. That's sedition, really, if you ask me. It's not traitor because they're not dealing with the foreign power, but they are,
sedition,
in a sense, because they're keeping the money away.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, you know, David, they don't believe in the government anyway. They want it to just go away and get out of their way so they can make money, you know, unrestricted completely. They want complete laissez-faire capitalism. And it's preposterous, but
that's why you have intelligence and leadership. You know, unfortunately, that's getting bought and paid for.
Yeah.
So that's sort of going away. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I noticed this past week I heard that your senator I know he's
not
really
my
yours,
senator. I know who you're going to talk
Senator
about.
Senator Inhofe is going to take over. Going to take over the Senate committee dealing with environmentalism, and what a disaster
that,
that'll be! He's a climate change denier from
irony
way back.
Or what, huh? Is that the definition of tragic irony?
Oh man, yeah, that's unbelievable. How about you, Gwen? What have you heard this past week?
You know, I posted something today that I can fully support, and I'd go stand in the road to do it too if I had the airfare. The Lakota Nation has declared that they will not allow the XL pipeline, which it is blueprinted to go through their land. They will not allow it to go through. They will consider it an act of war if it gets onto tribal land, if they try to come onto tribal land.
Yeah, and I hate to see anybody die, but I'd love to see that. I'd love to see very fierce resistance to that damn pipeline.
Well, you know, they have the treaties that say that they're an independent country, so they should have the capability of determining their own sovereign rights and all that. And
that's
if they don't want a pipeline across their land, they shouldn't have to be forced to have one.
Exactly, and they should exercise that right, I believe. And unfortunately, it'll probably go like most of the treaties, broken by the United States government, and they'll end up having lots of victims, and it's terrible.
Jack,
but it's undoubtedly, yeah.
You know what, Jack? I think they could actually get this one into court. I really do.
I think so too.
I think they should go to the United Nations and make as big of a stink as possible about it.
Do you know how many First Nations leaders have addressed the UN in the last 30 years about the environment and just such actions? Oh my gosh.
Oh, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there were a number during the recent climate change marches and discussions in New York City. People from all over the country went out there. They expected at most 100,000 people, and they got way more than three times that. That's incredible. So there's a lot of people out there that are against the pipeline, against pollution, against all the things that we're doing that are screwing up the environment and adding to climate change.
Well, unfortunately, what's happening is that they're shifting from pipelines to railroad. And
some of the railroad cars
aren't exactly up to snuff. So, I mean, that's another danger that has to be addressed. You know, with the railroads, they already got them laid down the tracks. So, you know, if they're going to put them on the tracks, at least have it where the cars can crash and not spew the oil everywhere.
Yeah,
there
true.
Is ways to
and,
do
you know,
that.
Since you brought up railroads, that's another interesting infrastructure point that we have been neglecting terribly. Do you know you can get on a train anywhere in Europe and go immensely fast to any other point in Europe way better than we can traverse the United States here with our decrepit, old, aging railway system. The Republicans can find
the
Amtrak to the point where it's no good anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's just another aspect of the infrastructure that the United States is way far behind. I mean, even the internet, you go to other countries and, you know, you got super fast speeds and, you know, fiber optics and, you know, you don't have all those other. And it doesn't, and the cellular systems, I mean, you have unlimited data, high speed, you know. We're being way behind.
We've been brainwashed into thinking that profit has to be there to make things better for everybody. But you know what? Excess profit makes things worse for everybody.
Yeah. Well, especially when you got the company just stocking away the cash and not reinvesting.
Exactly.
Well, there's another thing I want to bring up. Volkswagen. You got some sort of
we got
echo
an echo
feedback
going
there.
Again, Gwen.
I got an echo.
Your
radio playing or something.
No, I didn't.
Okay, it's good now.
Okay.
Oh, there it came back.
Uh oh.
Well, we'll have to deal with it.
Anyway, something I wanted
David.
To bring up was Volkswagen, and you know the plant in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
They just told Tennessee that they're going to go ahead and let the UAW represent their plant anyway, even though Tennessee did their best, the GOP and Tennessee did their best to try to put the UAW down.
Great.
But, apparently, the Volkswagen's going to go ahead and let the UAW represent the factory.
Well, they've got a common sense attitude, like most of Germany does, that workers have a right to a say in what's going on, too. And shouldn't be just shut out and dictated to from the powers that be. So I applaud that decision very much, and I'm not surprised that Volkswagen did that.
You guys there?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. I'm just trying to figure out where the delay and the sound's coming from.
We had that a couple of weeks back, and it's manageable right now compared to what it was.
Yeah.
I stay on the line and talk. I'm going to drop off and then call back in, see if that works.
Okay. Hopefully that'll do it.
No use going through this.
Yeah. Well, we'll experiment a little bit. Good things are gained through experimentation.
That's right.
I'll come back on Skype. Okay. Let me see if this will work.
I hope it does. Great. Well, David, I'm very encouraged to hear that you're recovering from your heart attack. Are you still pretty tired during the day ever, or are you?
I was, but I'm building up a strength, and you know, I was
good
every day. Try to do a little bit more. You know, I started back to work a little bit there.
Ooh.
And you know, I decided that you know, the doctor told me not to go back to work until the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I better take him up on that, and so I just decided to stay home. I've been taking it easy.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't blame you, man.
A couple weeks off work.
You know, it seems like you're in the thick of it that the stuff won't go away, but you know what? It can do fine without you for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, just take the time to, you know, just
get better.
Get back and rest and take some stress off and get better and,
yeah.
You know.
Was it mainly a stress
working.
Issue? Because Gwen mentioned that you have pretty good health otherwise.
I don't smoke. I have no hypertension. My blood pressure is running about 125 over 70.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
You know, I try to exercise. I guess I may have had a little bit of plaque.
Okay.
But, you know, when I went and, you know, I just started having what I felt like indigestion, and then it was one weekend, and then it went away, and then the next weekend it came back, and then, it wasn't the weekend, it was Wednesday night, and it just got worse, you know, no matter how many Tums or whatever I took, it just got really painful. So I was up all night, you know, it actually was nauseous about it.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
I've heard of that, yeah.
Pain was just incredible, and so finally,
did it go down your
left
arm like they say sometimes?
No, huh? No, I just it was all centered in the chest, and so
yeah. See,
I went
there's all
in,
kinds
and,
of it. Yeah.
You know, yeah. He asked me if I had any like reflux or anything like that, and I said no.
No,
it just hurts like hell. And he took the EKG, and next thing I know, I'm ambulance to the emergency room.
Holy cow!
Yeah.
Did you notice a tightness in your chest or difficulty breathing?
No. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you had a mild one, and I'm grateful about that. That's great.
Actually, no. I had 100% blockage, and it was the kind called the Widowmaker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. Gwen mentioned that. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a miracle, I guess, that you
survived. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I had several doctors come by later in my room and was sort of reviewing my case and shaking their head that I really had no right to be alive type thing, you know.
What's your cholesterol level? Is that elevated?
Huh?
Is your cholesterol level elevated?
A little bit. My bad cholesterol was a little bit elevated, and the good cholesterol was a little bit low.
Uh-huh.
But
a little bit.
Now I got,
you know,
two stents put in.
You
and,
did, okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, I had 100% blockage, and it was called
Holy
the LAD,
cow.
Which is a lower anterior descending artery off the heart. It's the one that feeds it back. You know?
Oh, wow.
So I was lucky. You know.
You were, and we're very grateful for that. We really are,
thank
man.
You.
Yeah, definitely. Well, geez, David, you're an important voice out there, and you come up with all kinds of intelligent arguments and presentations, and we'd be, you know, Roundtree 7 and the whole blogosphere would really miss you if you had to take time off, or if we lost you, we'd hate that. So,
thanks, Jack. Those kind words.
You're very, very much admired and respected throughout the entire lefty blogosphere. There's no doubt about that, and I'm sure opponents on
the
right
the world
respect
to change,
your intelligence as well.
We still have
no.
the world to change, don't we?
No,
oh,
guys.
We sure do.
The word is beloved. He's beloved.
Yeah, that's
beloved.
Right. Very true. Very true.
It's good to be
well,
beloved.
Well, it seems like we're not having the echo anymore, Gwen. That's great.
No,
for
it's
now.
Great. Sounds great now.
Yeah, I went from the Direct Connect from Blog Talk Radio. I got out of that, and I had to go in through Skype. And let me tell you what, I've been pressing buttons for 10 minutes here.
Oh, sounds much better.
But,
it's way better, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't try that one again.
Yeah, maybe this is the way we'll have to do it from now on.
Yeah, Ra was trying to tell me, don't use their Direct Connect. It flim-flams you.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys happen to catch Senator L. Franken's, I bring it up because, Jack, he's your senator.
Right.
Franken's conversation with Candy Crowley today on the
no.
Sunday. Yeah, he was denouncing Ted Cruz's statements about net neutrality and just trying to explain that net neutrality basically means keeping the net the way it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I support that 100%.
And Ted Cruz and the GOP argument is that it's government it's government regulations. Well, you know what? They got rid of Glass-Steagall, and what happened? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, these guys and they're regulation, anti-regulation happy. They're insane with this stuff, and especially Ted Cruz. He's a snake lying in the weeds. He wants to spring up and be president. That jerk. And Rand Paul, he and Rand Paul are both the most crazy guys in the Senate. There are many crazies, but they're among the worst. And I
Inhofe's pretty bad.
I know he's really bad on climate. Oh boy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's so far in the petrodollar's pocket, and it's unbelievable.
Oh, that goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw something very encouraging regarding the climate. They had Free Speech TV ran a 2-hour special on climate change this past week, and I caught a good part of it. Al Gore, toward the very end, addressed the crowd that was gathered, and at the United Nations, and he had a great rousing speech, and he pointed out how way behind the times the United States is, and how the economy and everything would benefit if we'd only get smart and go solar the way like Germany has done, and get rid of all this pollution, all this carbon-based crap that we're engulfed with, and he pointed out how coal is losing its favor now because it's much more efficient to go with solar, and it's a lot costlier, a lot less costly. And little by little, I think we're going to, he said, hang in there, everybody. We're going to win this. So
you know,
he said, don't be discouraged.
You know what's surprising?
Well, I don't know if win would be the exact word. I think we'll be dragged kicking and screaming.
Oh, yeah, but we'll emerge victorious if we keep pressing. If we give up the ship and, you know. But,
you know, there's some young engineering students out there that are coming up with crazy intelligent new designs for energy based on nature itself. I mean, like, there's this one group that are working on waves of the ocean generating the energy for seaside communities. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Carl?
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, for electricity and stuff, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the whole key on all the that is the energy storage. You know, it's storing the energy in either supercells, supercapacitors, or batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to the technology of storage. There's actually a group at MIT that came out with a new supercapacitor being the difference between a capacitor and a battery is a battery is like you charge it and then maybe has like 2,000 charges. A capacitor is like the old Linden jars. I don't know if you ever knew what that is, but it's always a temporary storage. Anyway, they came up with a new supercapacitor based off hemp.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Really fascinating. So there's a lot of new research into the energy storage aspect of it. And, you know, once they get that solved and you know, they get a battery that's, you know, really super high tech, you know, something then the Teslas, the cars and all that stuff, they, you know, can be radically improved. And it's going to change the world, but it comes down to the energy storage.
Well, you know, we've seen earth-shaking things happen just in the last 25, 30 years with the creation of the PC and the Apple, the Mac, and all that stuff, and the internet, and it has really revolutionized the entire world. I mean, and that was just in our lifetime, and it happened gradually, but it also happened quickly, kind of paradoxically, and it really has. I mean, it's everywhere now, and it's benefiting everybody. And like everything else, certain people are making big profits off it, and overdoing it. But, you know, that's a different issue that we can tackle, you know, hopefully down the line and get that straightened around. But with every given new thing, people are gonna rush to it, and they're gonna flock to it, and they're gonna try and own it so that they can profit off it. It's just we are so immersed in profit and in the ideology of having a profit on everything. It's just not right.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's gone beyond just a physical model with the GOP, and it's almost become
an obsession.
Right. You know, they have the economic right, and you know they equate profit with liberty. You know, the person that can go out and make money any way possible, whether it's digging up coal off the top of a mountain or you know, taking the lumber off of federal land, it's their right.
Completely unregulated, of course.
Yeah, it's been equated with liberty, and you know, that's very bad. I think it needs to be disconnected from that term or even that idea.
Well, that's kind of an aberration here in the United States, and it's gone everywhere else too, but not as badly. All across Europe, and this country, we love to make fun of Europe and think we're so superior. We are so deluded with that attitude; it's just ridiculous. We can learn. We can really learn from Europe and the way they do things. They learned hundreds of years ago that they had limited resources to deal with, and they found ways to work them so that everybody would benefit with the limited resources that they had. And they are way ahead of us in so many ways it isn't even funny.
Well,
so they can make all the judgments they want, but they're wrong. People are wrong about that.
But, Jack, there's also this. The United States of America is over 300 million people. The population of France is how many? It's a small...
United Europe is on par with us as far as people go. But, yeah, there are different languages and customs and all that stuff to deal with.
Yeah, they have a quicker fix because it's not as expensive for them. And yet they've enjoyed a huge economy that has allowed it to do it. Now, you could say, argumentatively, the United States has enjoyed probably even more profit than that.
Absolutely. You know, we're untouched by war.
Exactly. That's one big reason.
There hasn't been a war on this land since, you know, I guess,
1812.
Civil War or maybe.
Or Civil War, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, after World War II, we were untouched, basically, except for,
Pearl
Harbor.
We're on top
of
the world, literally. Yep.
Well.
Very good point. You know, they love to say they always bring socialism into it. Most people don't know what the hell they're talking about when they see socialism. You know, I would say a little bit of socialism for regular people rather than industry and big business would be very good for this country. It's sharing resources, it's sharing all the means of manufacturing, the means of production. It's sharing that rather than having one person or one entity dictating downward at everybody below them. And that's
absolutely
nothing wrong
with
that.
And
that's
also
very good.
It says that corporations have a responsibility to the country that they're in.
That's right.
They're not just a free-for-all, willy-nilly, whatever they want to do. You know, they can't...
And they started out that
take
way.
...take air or destroy resources with, you know, just... And pay some minimal fine, and they can't take all the profits offshore, and they...
No, right,
you know,
right.
They're part of the community, and they have to act like it.
Yeah, they've got to act. They've got to grow up, really, you know. And, you know, let's talk again about these austerity measures that have become so popular. Paul Ryan, what an absolute idiot, and Ayn Rand and all those idiots. And they are idiots because it doesn't work. You know what's going on right now in Europe? France is showing an incredible amount of actual economic growth in spite of their socialist system. They have a socialist system right now. And the socialist premier and all that stuff, or prime minister. And they're showing, no one expected it, but all of a sudden they're showing all kinds of growth in their, that you're not seeing in the austerity countries. Like even Britain is on an austerity kind of a kick. And France is outpacing Britain in terms of, and in Germany even. So that's incredible. We always think of Germany as the big superpower over there, the super economic power, and they are. But they've been having some difficulties because the right wing has forced them into austerity-type measures, and it's not working.
it's failing pretty miserably. And there is this too. I will say from my own business standpoint, it's true that retail activity is up in this country in the last 2 months. It's gone up.
Well, products are at record pace.
Yeah.
Based on credit, though?
Goes along with the healthcare thing. I mean, corporations just want to have it where they don't have to have any burden
on
their bottom line except for making the profit. They don't want to have to pay any kind of benefits. They don't want to have to pay any kind of health insurance.
Exactly.
They don't want to pay any
retirement. Yep.
They don't want any burden at all. They want to have the free reign to make a profit, and they want that profit to be able to take that anywhere they want to in the world to avoid taxes.
Yeah, and that's insane. You know, it's funny, too, Gwen, you mentioned that about retail being up like that. My question is this. Is this being financed through credit mainly? If so, people are digging their own graves by going to Visa and MasterCard and Discover and all those cards that are underwritten by the big banks that are just using them for excess profit. It's just insane. But I wonder, I'll bet it is fueled by credit cards.
I don't know if that's true, to be honest with you.
Well, I hope it's not, because that would be bad.
Yeah.
I don't know where the money would be coming from, Gwen.
Basically, there's been here locally, we've watched our economy raise a bit in the last year, and there are more
people. I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, I am too, very much so. I mean, I'm a small business person. I rely on people's ability to go online and make little purchases that they don't have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, too, that we it is big corporations, agreed, but it's best to say profit-driven corporations, because I'm a
corporation.
It's like I'm a little company. I'm not a profit-driven company. I would like to employ people with profit, you know?
Right.
And there are a lot of what I call green or new finances kind of driven companies that want to be a part of communities that enlarge and enrich the community too. So it's unfortunate that we come under the auspices of corporations, because legally we have to do that.
Well,
corporations are
different in night and day. You're not an Apple that's hiring slave labor over in China or whatever. And
Hey, listen,
and keeping all their money offshore. I mean, you're not a garment industry that's paying Indonesian children
exactly
a day to make.
You're doing it the old-fashioned way, Gwen. You're earning it.
You're
doing it honestly and in relation to your community and the people around you and your customers. That's the way to do business.
Your mom and
profit
pop,
at all cost stuff.
I've also left doing business with companies. Like I did a business with a company out west for lots of years, and they used to distribute me. And I got a lot of my supplies from them. And then when I found out that they were dodging profits, dodging paying people off or putting people on health insurance, and they were hiring illegals and stuff, I stopped doing business with them right away.
Good for you.
Well, it was soulless, and my business, guys, I'm dancing on a funny side of the street, but, it'll shock you how many small companies, and small, I mean, he was probably grossing about $600,000 a year, are doing it the same way the big guys are doing it,
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of them out there doing that. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, the thing is, I've heard the argument that corporations are immoral, but really corporations aren't immoral. They're amoral.
Amoral.
They have no morals.
Very true.
Yeah,
right.
They only are beholden to their shareholders. And,
morals cost money.
For that very reason, they'll always make the decision that benefits and maximizes a profit. Therefore, they should not be allowed, for that very fact, they should not be allowed to write their own regulations. That's why you have leadership and politicians and government
right.
to regulate these things.
But they've circumvented that by creating ALEC
rules.
They've created ALEC to advise guys how to write bills and actually
exactly.
write bills.
Exactly, but you know that's completely
disgusting.
Wrong. You don't allow business to become your leaders.
I agree.
Because their interest is not the citizen. Their interest is the shareholders.
Exactly.
You know, and
that,
that's the thing
it is.
I hear
fascism.
A politician that states, well, I was a businessman for 23 years before I started running for Senate. To me, that's an automatic disqualification because
yeah.
you have no qualification.
Yeah.
Just because
right.
you're in a business doesn't mean that you're a leader.
Exactly.
You know, being a leader is
yeah.
almost the opposite of running a business.
Exactly, yeah. Because businesses are tied to profit. And
what you need to do as a business owner or a business creationist is to make the people that work with you and for you the shareholders.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm all for that.
Eastman Kodak was once very much like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, half of the stocks belong to their workers at one time.
Yeah. Here's our idea. Why don't we make all the corporations where all the citizens of the United States are the shareholder?
Yeah. Wow, that would be something.
Well,
you know,
they're
kind of doing that with the oil industry up in Alaska, I understand. That's the one, only one good thing that Sarah Palin did up there. You know, everybody gets a kickback from oil profits.
Yeah, they
and
do.
That's the way it should be.
It's
yeah.
like
well, I mean, there's also a fallacy with that because, you know, pretty soon it becomes everything is the priority of the oil. Like, okay, should we drill here in this harbor?
Yeah,
or
I know.
Should we,
that I understand.
You know,
yeah.
sacrifice
yeah.
the salmon for oil? You know, yeah, I need my
right.
dividend check. Come on, go ahead, drill.
Yeah.
Greed yeah. takes over. Greed takes over.
Yeah, it becomes distorted. Yeah.
But when everybody has an invested interest in creating what the corporation or the company is creating. And
everybody has a voice in the way that company runs its affairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, really what you need to do is make everybody a shareholder in Earth. You know, everybody has a share in everything.
That's
so maybe, you know, maybe if that was the case, then people would say, oh, I don't want you polluting my river. I don't want you...
Right.
You know, sending all this coal dust up in the air, but, you know,
yeah.
it's not looked that way.
Right, right.
Basically,
I don't want you spilling millions of barrels
American
of oil
look
into
at
the
it
Gulf.
That way. Yeah.
Well,
right.
yeah.
yeah they look
the
at it like it's.
Among the indigenous communities all over the
exactly,
planet,
yeah.
that's exactly what it's about. They're stewards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I came from a family on my father's side of nurserymen who became bankers and politicians after that, but. They started out that way, and they always considered themselves stewards of the land and the community.
Mm-hmm. The
you
land
know?
Is sacred.
Well, they were responsible.
Yeah.
Yes. They weren't profit-driven.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We have a
and,
call.
You know, one good thing that I've seen, it's not happened as much as I'd like to see it happen, but I have seen a lot of people all of a sudden going, hey, what am I doing putting my money in Citibank and in Bank of America and all these corrupt banks, Chase Manhattan and all these goofballs? They're putting them in locally owned savings and loans known as credit unions that benefit the community and loan to the community. The big banks, they don't care about loaning anything. They want to make a billion on everything. And if they can't, they won't even deal with it. So let's remove our money from these places. I agree with that. Get out of these big banks and let's get into the local scene with the credit unions. It can only help your own community, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, let me read something out of the chat room here. It's from Soul Connection. Say that in the future, the way that corporations are doing business now will be considered a high crime that hurts humankind, the ecosystems, and the soul. I agree with that. I think
it used to be,
you know, just like slavery today, back then, you know, was the economic model,
right?
And it's, you know, looked upon with disdain and you know, more outrage. I think it'll be the same way.
Yeah,
very
50
insightful.
Or 75 years from now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to go, Soul Connection.
That's true. We have a caller, gentlemen. I'm going to put him on live and see what the caller has said.
Yo.
8110 area code. Hello? Can you hear me?
Hey, what's up?
Hi. Who's calling?
My name's Greg.
Hi, Greg. You have something to contribute here?
Yeah, I want to talk about money.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Go for it.
You ready? Be me. 19, 5 million in the bank. Rate my sister. Got away with it.
Okay, Greg. That's a real sweet thing to have to say.
That's quite a contribution, Greg.
Yeah, Greg. He dropped.
Is Greg
that,
still there?
No,
I think Greg was a troll.
And he dropped Chow and ran.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that was great.
He's a troll. He's just out there making noise.
Well, you're not making a difference unless you get a troll.
Yeah, I guess so.
Jeez. You know, come on.
Well, I hope he learned a little something beforehand. He just thought he had to ridicule us with that insane comment. And
I didn't even catch all of it. What did he say?
Oh, he's 19 and he has $5 million in the bank and he just raped his sister or something like that. How insane.
Oh, really?
What the hell's wrong with people like that? What is wrong with people like that?
Yeah.
What does that contribute to anything?
I don't know.
It's just insane. But, it's a troll. We get him every now and then.
Yeah.
So,
Hope his sister's doing better.
Yeah, I hope so too. It's all a figment of his imagination.
You know what's really terrible about that, though, is that there are a lot of 19-year-olds out there who are in college wondering why the hell they are, because they're going to be in debt when they get out.
Good
and
point.
There's no job market for them for what they really care about. But the other part about that is, it is going to force a couple of generations to actually become creative enough to make new. There's going to be a new marketplace, a new economy, and that's just how it's going to evolve because that's history.
Well, it has to. If college is too expensive,
my kids are coming up.
They're not going to go.
My kids are coming up in college age right now, and I'm seriously. I don't know if I can really recommend they go to college and, get $100,000 in debt.
Right.
Of course, there's a part of me that automatically says, you have to go to college. But there's another part of me that looks at the facts and say, that sort of model's changed a little bit.
It really has.
I really don't know what to advise them right now.
There are technical schools that they can do that are a lot less expensive that would help them get into something that they could use as a springboard to get into something later on with if they want. But it's up to the kids too and what their aptitudes are and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It's a perfect time to let's look at it fairly here and let's look at it sensibly. Greed has entered into colleges. It's just gotten the cost of going to college has gone up way ahead of inflation for no good reason except for greed.
Well, actually, Jack, there is a good reason for that, and the reason for that, according with the state colleges, is that the states have stopped funding colleges anymore.
Well,
they don't
true.
Fund
yeah,
colleges,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so they pushed all that funding over to the students. It used to be where the states would actually pay a significant portion of the operating.
That's right. They still do that. But here's the Republican cry for, or the conservative cry for getting rid of taxes. Taxes are evil. And
yeah,
you
exactly.
Cut them
That's
at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end
mm-hmm.
result of it. Is higher tuition
right.
fees and higher college costs, and that's not good for society.
So who used to fund a lot of the scholarships were big pharma and a lot of corporations that just don't do it.
No, they're sticking in their pocket.
Or if they are doing it, they purchase the school and its ideology like the Koch brothers are doing, right?
Oh, yeah, they want a Koch brothers type school,
That's like going to Liberty College for your law degree.
Boo. Boo, boo, boo.
We're going to the School of Inhofe for your environmental engineering.
one of the things we got to make attractive to young people is to demystify the role of the lawyer, to amplify the role of like the doctors who have been over there treating Ebola.
Right.
To bring our. Because, Joe Campbell said it, there's a lack of communal myth today. And
exactly.
we've got to start telling the right stories. And the right stories
yeah.
are when people
yeah,
get off.
It's been too much of a right-wing narrative that's been ruining everything.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is kids, they get out of college and they got the $100K, you know, with interest loan, and
they're
truthfully
saddled.
They cannot do anything but pursue money. I mean, they don't have a choice of
injury, David. They get out of college and they don't have a good job waiting for them. They got a shit job.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
Now that is the failure of capitalism right there. That is the big failure of capitalism.
Remember the Peace
Corps?
There
ought to be a reward for you if you invest. You ought to get a return on your reward.
I remember.
Peace Corps and ask not what you can do and all that. I mean, that seems like a universe away, doesn't it? In a galaxy far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
It sure does. We have to turn the story around. The success has to rest, and that's up to art. It really is. It's up to the storytellers, and that means we need movies and TV shows and YouTube shows and all kinds of people that are telling really exciting stories about that kind of success, the success for the community, where the hero really comes back to life.
The chat room Soul Connection mentioned Doctors Without Borders, and I agree. The Doctors Without Borders are the real-life heroes of this decade. I mean, they're amazing. You know, they're
that's very true. And another
pure sacrifice, and it's just amazing what they do.
And another great contribution from Soul Connection. Great, great work, Soul Connection. You're welcome here anytime.
That's right. Any relation to the train, Soul Train? No. Never mind.
Soul
Train. Remember that show?
Was in the late 70s or early 80s, wasn't it?
Hey, I was just barely born.
How old are you, David?
32.
30. Is that right?
No,
I'm blown
I'm
away,
not.
Man. You have great wisdom.
I'm 55.
55.
But it's a young
55. Say, you speak
with
great
wisdom. And
that's the
engineer year, so it only counts for like 17 or 18.
Yeah.
that brings up something I wanted. You guys are perfect to ask about this. And I hope Soul Connection will put her or his two cents in about this. There was a post on the front page of the Huffington Post. Yeah, I go over there and take a look at it every day. And they had a listing that was just, I'm looking for it right now, the 10 most popular or most influential albums of the 70s and 80s. And
that could last three more shows, man.
No, but they had 10 listed, and I wondered what you guys would think about that.
What's the list?
Yeah, I'm looking for it here. I'm rolling the screen looking for it. There it is. The 10 greatest albums of the 60s and 70s. Okay.
Golden era.
Yeah, but and number 10 would be Tapestry by Carole King.
Well, I can see where a lot of ladies go for that. She was a great writer, but, you know, that's all I'll say about it. How about you, David?
Well, I don't know. It was a pretty
she
good
wrote
album.
Tons of songs.
Well,
it became big
I think I would lean more
towards
Joni Mitchell, though.
Ladies of the Canyon or Blue, absolutely Blue.
Or Joan Baez, even.
No, Mitchell over Baez any day. Okay,
number five,
and I know that David's going to love this one, Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard that album.
Oh, man, is that right?
I've never listened to the full album.
Columbia Records made a big deal out of Bruce Springsteen, and he's a good artist, but he's not worth all the idolatry that have been placed on him. That was a good album. It wasn't a great album.
Yeah. Okay, number 8 was one I think is a good one too. Folsom Prison by Johnny Cash. That was an excellent.
I agree with that one.
That was a good one. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. Yep.
Number 7 was Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You by the Queen of Soul, Aretha.
Aretha Franklin.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, she was quite good.
Number six.
Marvin Gaye's got to be in there somewhere.
He's got to be up there, yeah.
Exile on Main Street, the Rolling Stones. Good album. I don't know. Good album.
I like Banquet better, but...
Yeah, you know, I don't rate the Stones as high as a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know.
One that I think should have made it and did, Bridge Over Troubled Water, Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, Simon and Garfunkel, yeah.
Yeah,
very literate writing always, very sensitive, very good stuff.
That's right, yeah. Excellent musicality,
love
harmonies. And,
oh, yeah, just beautiful.
This is something I still listen to a lot of times on iTunes, and Songs in the Key of Life with Stevie Wonder.
Oh, that was a beautiful album from 76. Oh,
yeah.
What a beautiful album. He was album king for a long time.
I'll tell you,
he was so good.
This one is a personal favorite of mine, but I they say it's number three, but, you know, I don't know what you guys will think. Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys.
That's good. You know, production-wise, it broke a lot of new ground, but it didn't say much. It didn't really have much to say. You know, I would say Sgt. Pepper's was superior to that.
Number two.
Yeah.
Number two, Sgt. Pepper's.
Yeah.
Sgt. Pepper's.
And that kind of set and Pet Sounds in this realm kind of set the template for making creative, if not commercial, but creative albums along certain themes. Although thematically it wasn't that unified of a project, either one of them, but the theme being, different orchestration and inventive arrangements and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What do you guys think number one was?
Who conducted this?
It was a survey by Billboard.
Oh, a survey by Billboard. Oh, that's interesting.
What's number one?
And number one I agree with because it was in my life, Rumors by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, I disagree completely. Their album,
I mean, it was a good
prior
album.
To that was much better. Much better.
Yeah.
God,
who?
I don't understand why so many people think Rumors is such a great album. I was fine, but it wasn't that good.
It's still one of the best-selling CDs.
Oh, yeah. It's way up there, yep, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, you know, one of, I think, one of...
I like Tusk better than that.
I did too, I like Tusk.
Tusk was a lot more inventive artistically.
I mean, what was defining the...
Was it
the most innovative album, or
no,
was it the most sales, or...
I think it was just the taste, what people liked the most.
Oh,
yeah.
What people... I thought we were like, what caused the greatest social change or made people sort of stop and think or introspective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And then they would have stuck a lot more because they didn't put any Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young in there. They didn't put any...
Yeah, that
Doors,
they had some
you know.
Very good work.
Doors, yeah, that was certainly...
Doors, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think Joni Mitchell, of course.
Mitchell.
Socially and musically, just unsurpassed myself, but that's me.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're more socially attuned than a lot of people are, especially nowadays. And
Steely Dan. Steely Dan, one of my favorite groups. Yeah, I never grew up.
Yeah, they were good. Some people have compared them to the Beatles, but I don't see it. But
no, I don't think they're anything like the Beatles, really.
Nothing at all.
No,
nowhere near as influential.
Like
nowhere near as groundbreaking. They were kind of jazz driven a little bit. So what? I don't care. But they're a good group. They're a solid group. I saw them live a couple times, but I think Emerson, Lake and Palmer were far better artistically and better musicians.
They were
so
good.
Yeah, or even Pink Floyd back then.
And Pink Floyd, yeah.
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 Yep. I'm surprised that Pink Floyd album, Dark Side of the Moon, didn't make that list.
Whoa, what is that?
Uh-oh. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
technical difficulties. Oh well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm you know, I just wonder about those kind of lists, the person that, what criteria they use to put it together. It had
to be
a combination of sales, but also different tastes and things like that. Because I'm kind of suspicious of lists like that, because normally I always disagree, which I did this time. I've had
most influential album of the
in 70s, myself.
Elton John.
Yeah.
Well, Soul Connection made a good observation. She said people should go rent a DVD of Woodstock and see what they were doing on the stage there, and she's got a point.
Yeah, very true.
Actually, when I was 12 years old, I wore out a copy of Woodstock.
Oh, yeah.
It was three albums and had
I remember it.
Country Joe McDonald
it.
And the Fish, Crosby,
yep.
Stills, Nash & Young, and
yep.
And
Richie
yeah.
Havens, and you
Richie
name it,
Havens.
They were there. The Who, you know?
Yeah, The Who.
All kinds of them, man.
That was an incredible. Guys,
it was an incredible weekend.
Playing.
Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, yeah, Hendrix.
Yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay, but not my bag.
Yeah.
I like Stevie Wonder a lot better than those guys.
How about
and Marvin Gaye.
How about the Moody Blues, guys? You like the
Moody? Oh, yes.
Moody Blues are good, yeah.
Beautiful job, beautiful. Justin Hayward, what a great writer. Oh, my.
Yep.
They were tremendous. They were tremendous.
I saw those guys and I saw Chicago, both groups. I saw live. They sounded just like their albums. It was fabulous. Beautiful.
That's
concert.
Great. Yeah, and they did. They both put on good shows, you're right. And I saw It's a Beautiful Day live in 1971, and I'm so glad I did. Those guys were fabulous, too. San Francisco-based electric violin. I mean, they were very good, band. White Bird was
a
big song.
Saw Led Zeppelin in 1977.
Oh, yeah, Led Zeppelin, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Jefferson Airplane, man. They were...
Before Starship.
Yeah. You know, when they went to Starship, in my opinion, they were sold out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they did kind of
come and gone by then.
Yeah.
There was a tremendous amount of
Days of Future Past. That was
Moody Blues. That was very good. Yeah, with the London Philharmonic, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yep. Very nicely done.
Nice and white satin and.
Yes. Oh yeah, and Tuesday Afternoon.
All that stuff.
Yeah, beautiful
Tuesday.
Stuff. Great album
yep.
to this day. It's a great album. Good listen.
Yep.
The Soul Connection says the Moody Blues are like, well, they're like time travelers who came here from the future to cast influences across the collective heartbeats of humankind.
Whoa.
I like what she said. That was
I like
time
that.
Traveler's wife.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that movie. That was interesting. I like things dealing with time travel. It's a fascinating concept.
I do too,
Fascinating.
Grandfather clauses and all that stuff, you know.
Thank you, H.G. Wells, for coming up with that first one, the time machine. Great concept.
H.G. Wells had the concept of atomic bombs. Do you know that?
I know. He was way ahead of his time, man. He was an incredible. You know what? He was a socialist. H.G. Wells was a socialist.
Yep. He was
a good man. Good writer.
Guys. We got 90 seconds, so Jack.
Keep pushing forward. Good to have you back, David. Keep on, man. We'll see you again soon.
All right.
Talk to you again. Looking forward to it. Gwen, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Everybody, keep listening. We're going to be off next week, but the week after we'll be back. So everybody keep pushing forward and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
You bet. Thank you, David. You're invaluable.
Thank you, David, for... Appreciate it. Would love to have you.
All right, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to talk on the radio.
Anytime, buddy. Anytime.
Right.
You're irreplaceable, my friend.
It's Roundtree 7, the number 7.com that sponsors this show. So thanks, Dave. We appreciate it.
All right.
Get well, buddy.
Have a good
Keep
Sunday.
Up the good work.
Okay, bye.
Okay, talk to you again.
And that's our show for this evening. Thank you for listening in. This has been the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, Gwen Berry, and tonight we had David Williams from Round 7. Thanks. We'll be back after the holiday.